Please welcome Hank Bueno.
How you doing, everybody? Gotta say, how you doing? Sounds like you're from New York. So, I'm born and raised in New York City, from Manhattan. Grew up there. I lived in San Luis Obispo after a little bit after 9/11. But I just got back from New York a couple of days ago, visiting my family and my brothers and cousins and everyone. Had an amazing time. Very nostalgic. But I gotta share with you this amazing experience I had when I was 13 years old. And by the way, if anyone wants to learn how to dance salsa, I'm your guy. Just saying. But that's another subject. So when I was about 14 years old, I had this job, and in order to keep me from being in the streets and not being influenced by bad elements of people that I grew up with around my neighborhood, and this was in like the mid-80s, early 90s, so to speak, and I had a job working as a delivery boy in a pharmacy. And so technically I was a drug delivery boy, which is weird. Right? At the same time. So it was a great experience because it was like the first time I really got some serious work ethic, you know, down. And in the Upper West Side where I lived, it was all these prominent homes in Central Park West. And I got to meet a lot of very interesting people. For example, I used to deliver to Diane Carroll. I don't know if some of you might not know her. She's a famous black actress. And she would always call me Honey Brown. Thank you, Honey Brown, every time I delivered to her. And she would give me a prescription and say, here, give this to Ivan, who was my boss, and said, tell him to fill this prescription. I'll be back next week. I'm going to Marrakesh. And I'm like, isn't that in Africa? And she would be like, oh, why would you know that? I'm surprised you know that, young man. And I was like, I read books. And she would give me a nice tip, which was nice. I also met this really famous opera singer. I don't know her name right now. I should look it up, but she was always real famous, but she always reminded me of that Joan Crawford movie where she was always, you know, wide-eyed walking down the stairs, and she always would have gowns on. No matter what time I would deliver, she had these amazing gowns, and it was really weird, but she also tipped well. I also met this other guy named Walter van der Zien, who was this real famous photographer from the 1940s, and he did a lot of famous stuff with, I think, Lanson Hughes and a lot of other jazz musicians in Harlem. And the great part about delivering him, because he was about 90, 80 years old, but his wife was about 30 years old, and she always came to the door in a t-shirt with no bra. And I just gotta say, when you're 14 years old, fill in the blanks. I also used to deliver to a couple of regular other people. And it was always really nice because during the summer, I get to wear my rollerblades. So I get to zip through the whole city, go through traffic, and go through streets, and just get deliveries really fast. And my boss loved me. I also got delivered to this other gentleman named Max Roach, who was the drummer for Miles Davis. And he was really nice. And also, Ben Vereen was another nice man that I used to deliver to all the time. So I don't want to name drop all these celebrities, but there was one young lady. During the summer, it was great. During the fall, it wasn't so bad. But during the winter, oh, it was brutal because I used to have to schlep through all the snow and all the streets, and it was really tough. But I had this one lady, Miss Halstead, and she was a retired pianist director for Juilliard. Sweet lady, lived in a penthouse apartment on Central Park West. And it always took me like an extra 5 minutes because she was always like, I'm sorry, it took long. I was in the West Wing side of the house. And I was like, oh, whatever. But here's the thing. She would always give me a nickel for a tip. I know. Wait. Now that I think about it, I used to deliver her every 2 weeks. High blood pressure medication, thyroid medication, 2 bags of Ricolas. Cough drops, and she would always give me a nickel. And every time she gave me the nickel and she closed the door, I would just slide it right under the door. Now that I think about it, it probably was the same nickel she just recycled over and over. Now I'm thinking about it, but I don't know. Anyway, it's about two weeks before Christmas, and I'm doing my routine, schlepping all through the snow. I go to Miss Halstead's house. She finally comes to the door. I give her her medication. Hi, Ms. Halstead. How you doing? Hey, young man. How you doing? Sweet. I know I don't give you a lot of money during the year, but here's $5.
Wow.
$5. Great. Fine. Whatever. Go back to work. I tell my boss, Ivan, Ivan, you won't believe it. Miss Halstead just gave me $5 as a tip. She goes, that cheap lady, you know why she's so rich? It's because she keeps all her money. I decided with the $5, I said, you know what, Ivan? Let me get 5 lottery tickets. 5 scratch-offs. And I got to tell you, the last lottery ticket, I won $1,100. Right? It gets worse, folks. It gets worse. No. I win $1,100. I can't believe this. I'm just like, oh, my God, I can't believe this. And in New York City, when you win a lottery, there's this building in Maiden Lane. It's actually right next to that famous Iron Bull that's on Wall Street. It's right next to it. It's on Maiden Lane. It's the happiest building in New York City. It's called the Lottery Building. It's where you go collect your winnings. So here I go the next day. I'm just so excited. I keep looking at this ticket. I'm just like, it is $1,100. It's $1,100. I go to Maiden Lane. Now I'm 14 years old. I go to Maiden Lane. I go there, and I go to collect my winnings. And the lady tells me, young man, you are not 18 years old. You cannot collect this money. I'm just like, I won it legitimately. I even told him, I said, Ms. Halstead gave me $5. You don't know her, but she's cheap, and she gave me $5, and I bought this ticket, and I won. And she was like, well, I don't understand. And I'm trying to convince her so much. I want this money. I'm like, it's Christmas, for God's sakes, you know? She says, I'm sorry, man, you can't. And it was so fortunate that right behind me was a couple who won, I don't know what they won, but they hear this, and the husband comes up, and he goes, hey, hold on a second. How are you not going to give this young man? He won it legitimately. He's like, first of all, he shouldn't have bought the tickets. Shouldn't have been sold the ticket. The young man was nice enough to say, he takes the ticket from me as if it's his. He cashes it and gives me all the money. Which is great, right? It was great. I know, it was great. I was so happy. And it was the first time that usually in my house for Christmas, we were really poor, and what really mattered most in Christmas in our house was this festive food. My uncle was a chef, and he would cook this amazing food, and we didn't really care much about toys. And I really didn't, and I honestly didn't care much about toys, because I had a friend named Jason Keidel, whose father was a cameraman for Saturday Night Live, and they had money, and his dad used to buy him all these toys. So I always just go to Jason's house. That was my Christmas. I go to Jason's house, I play with all his toys. Just to give you an idea how much toys he had, Star Wars was the thing. He had every single figure from Darth Vader, Luke Skywalker, but he had about 100 stormtroopers to that collection. So playing toys was always about that. And this was the first Christmas that having this money and being able to buy these little gifts and little things for my cousins and my brothers and my mom was something that was totally unexpected, because we always celebrated Christmas of having this wonderful, great meal. And I remember buying small things. I can't remember all of them off the, but I remember my baby brother saying, you hit the jackpot. Thank you. Thank you very much, folks. Thank you.